Welcome to a brand new episode of the Front End Happy Hour podcast. After years of doing this podcast, we have seriously failed to dive into the topic of WordPress. I'm surprised that it's only coming up now, but this is actually our second episode that's focused on WordPress this year. So it's really great to have Fabian, Louise, and Matthias joining us to talk about the current state of WordPress and what we can expect in the future. Fabian, Louise, and Matthias, can you give us a brief introduction of who you are, what you do, and what your favorite happy hour beverage is?
My name is Fabian. I live over in Germany. I work as an associate director of editorial engineering at an agency called TenUp, and essentially focus on building client websites most of the time. My happy hour beverage most of the time is just Fanta Orange.
Okay. My name is Luis. I'm a software engineer. I founded a company called Frontity, which was a headless React framework for WordPress. 2 years ago, we sold the company to Automattic, and since then I've been working directly on WordPress core, leading the design of a front-end framework for WordPress, which is about to be released in WordPress 6.
Beverage.
I'm a big fan of Michelada.
Hello, I'm Matias Ventura. I'm from Montevideo, Uruguay, originally. I'm an engineer. I studied philosophy, did filmmaking, and I've been at Automattic, which is a company that was Luis's company, since 2010, so it's been a while. And I've been leading the Gutenberg project in WordPress for the past 6 or so years, and we can get into like what that is later on. Just happy to be here. My beverage of choice is, I'm having like tea now, but I would say like sake.
Nice. I don't think anyone's ever picked sake, so that's good. I'm happy to hear that. All right, and it is Jem and myself from the panelists. Jem, you want to give introduction?
Jem Young, engineering manager at Netflix.
And I'm your host, Ryan Burgess. This episode is sponsored by our friends at FetchPress. Unlock the power of easy, seamless deployments from Git repositories. Keep your site up to date, secure, and running smoothly without ever breaking a sweat. Leverage FetchPress to deploy your themes and plugins directly from GitHub, Bitbucket, and GitLab. Experience the convenience of your code updating automatically with every Git push. Don't let manual updates using FTP slow you down. Discover the future of WordPress site management with FetchPress. For a limited time, Frontend Happy Hour listeners can now receive 20% off their subscription. Just use the promo code HAPPYHOUR at checkout. FetchPress, making WordPress GitHub's best friend. Let's dive into our topic of WordPress. Maybe we should start off for our listeners who maybe have never used WordPress. I mean, that's been used heavily for years, but not everyone's using it. So I'd be curious to know, what is WordPress?
WordPress is a content management system that's open source and has been around for more than 2 decades now. And it was originally forked from another blogging project back in 2003 or so. It was originally blogging software, but it evolved into building sort of any website that you can imagine from publishers, like, I don't know, all the way to like commerce sites and so forth. And it now powers 43% of the web. And it's been in a constant process of evolution since. And that was, for me, that was one of the ways I got into web development. I was doing like Flash websites, I believe, at the time for like filmmaking and stuff. And I discovered like the web standards movement through WordPress and so forth. And that got me into web development fully.
Yeah, I think you defined it really well. I remember the early days of 2003 or 2004 was early days when I was using WordPress. So yeah, it has evolved significantly throughout these years. So that's awesome. Yeah, like, why has WordPress continued to be such a popular tool? 43% of the web is not small. Like, that is huge. and I would love to hear your thoughts. Like, why is it so popular and continues to be so popular?
I think one of the reasons why it has stayed so popular and why it just grows and grows is that essentially it can power both the kind of single business owner, do-it-yourself website that you can just host on any server out there with essentially a one-click install, all the way up to sites like NASA.gov or the WhiteHouse.com site and anything in between. And they're really kind of, you can jump into it not knowing any code at all. You can just get started, build your own site and are happy with that. But you can also use it as a framework to build really, really complex applications. And there's a really, really rich plugin ecosystem that essentially allows you to do limitless things. And a lot of that with kind of pre-baked solutions that are out there in the ecosystem that make it just really, really easy to integrate lots and lots of things on top of it, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting combination of some of the philosophical aspects of the software and the community around it, and like obviously the open source and the GPL. But I think like it has made a lot of really interesting people gravitate towards it. And I think that has reflected itself on like a strong commitment to like user experience in the project. Especially if you go back then, like open source software was often synonymous with like either like lower level infrastructure things, or things that were not very usable. And I think WordPress from the start had in mind that for it to be a successful project, it had to measure itself with really good proprietary software that and match that sort of user experience. And I think that's part of like why it had to evolve so much, because the expectations of what good software is these days has been shifting so much. But I think like that, the combination of like a strong commitment to the user experience and then that inherent openness that allowed the plugin ecosystem to develop, that created software that was so flexible, that combination started to create this flying wheel, I think, that it continues to grow. And but it's hard to like, it's sort of like easy to see retrospectively, but I think it's hard to tell like exactly why, what are the ingredients that you need to like put together? Because I think it's that combination of like global community of people, like a very like strong commitment to the user, the writing roots that it had and so forth. I remember like the founder, like the co-founder of WordPress, Matt Mullenweg, once I think was one of the first time I ran across like sort of the project. He was comparing open source with how we as a humanity have access to so much stuff that our ancestors did. Like in music, you can go and read like compositions by Bach, and there's so much stuff in the commons that allowed us to do like the next thing. So applying that to this sort of software, to like an expressive tool, how does that look? And I think that's sort of like the ability for the project to reflect back on this more like historical side of things. I think that also counts a lot for, or at least has kept me, for example, very engaged with the project, because I think it's something that can be shaped. It can like be carried on to like newer generations. And by now with like 20 something years, there's been like multiple phases of people coming in, like contributing, going forward and so forth.
Yeah. And even being 20 years into it with, I think there are about 3 or 4 releases happening every year, and every release sees between 600 and 800 contributors, a good portion of which is first time contributors, but also a good kind of stable base, and just that amount of people all contributing towards that big piece of software keeps it fresh and rolling.
And when you say contribute to it, is that contributing to the core WordPress, or is it plugins, themes? Like, is that all included?
The number that I mentioned right now is specifically about core WordPress, the actual piece of software, not only code contributions, but also issue reporting, testing, those types of things. But that is the actual core software. The actual plugin ecosystem is much, much more than that.
I figured, because I think that's one thing that's been really awesome about WordPress is that it's so flexible. Like, you can create your own theme or go download a theme or download plugins, create your own plugins. So I think that extensibility has been really impressive over the years. I think about the days that I've used WordPress is it was just flexible where I could create something for a small client where they, you know, they just need to manage like little text updates here and there. And you don't want to be the one stuck like getting that email. Hey, can you just update the, you know, small little thing here? We've changed our contact information. Can you just go do that? When you can put the power into the user's hands and that's flexible for them. I think that's been always really, really powerful. But then even just seeing over the years how many sites use it in so many unique ways, publishing content into apps, right? Like I've had to do that where it's like you're giving like a content writer the ability to write, and they don't want to, you know, they're not going to go download Xcode and try and like write content for that. But as a developer, you can ingest that content easily and just give them something that they might be familiar with from other things they've worked on. So I think that's something that I've been impressed with too.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of like design creativity as well in the early days as well, that found it like, again, it was very connected with the web standards movement and with the work that Jeffrey Selman was doing and so forth. That I think it has gone through all of these steps, but the flexibility and the plugin ecosystem, I think, are a huge, both the plugins and themes, I think, has been like a huge like driver of adoption. And I think it has led to like, maybe went a bit more into the nitty gritty of the engineering, but I think there's something about like the software that sort of grows as an organism that sort of starts to arrive at a sort of organic simplicity after the years, where like it's like through all of these forces and plugins and themes and so forth, like things start to emerge as sort of like the combination of these principles that I think has allowed these things to continue to be like, to continue to attract people, to continue to be like a tool that you can use to build anything.
Like a whole ecosystem has developed around WordPress, you know, where people are making their living making plugins. And so it's not just like the open source, like where you're kind of just contributing, like people are making a living off of it too, which I'd say like contributed to its success because people are now invested in it. Good.
There are now like huge companies like built on top of like either WordPress or like building plugins for WordPress or as agencies for WordPress, or like the ecosystem is really rich. And I think it's also been, and there's not like one company that like controls the thing. And I think that has also been very like a very fruitful environment for.
I'd be interested to, you know, bring up some of like, there's obviously other things out there, competitors of WordPress, other platforms that people can leverage. You know, back in the day, I think when you would try and think about which ones you wanted to do, I felt like Drupal was a big one at the time that was kind of comparable to WordPress. But I'm curious, like what are comparables out there today, and what are the unique advantages that WordPress offers?
It's a good question. I can say I don't want to monopolize, but I can.
Go ahead.
I think like, again, it has changed so much. Initially, I remember like it was all the blogging software, including Blogger by Google at the time, I think was seen as a competitor for WordPress. That was the time, like Drupal was emerging and so forth. I think then there was a period where I think Tumblr was a strong competitor. It's interesting now, Tumblr was bought by Automattic like a couple years ago. Like we're still trying to switch it to be powered by WordPress. But these days, I think there's so much competition around the, like there's all the sort of software as a service sites like Squarespace, Wix, there's like newcomers like Framer and Canva, I think also has like, so a lot of like really interesting tools that are sort of in that sort of space. On the open source side, I think it's easy to see because I think right now it's less seen as, I think there's one way of looking at it, which is like all of the proprietary system and all of the open systems, like Drupal, for example, now we, like there's like a very good like back and forth and collaboration now on the projects. Like, for example, like we were helping and working with a team about like the possibility of integrating Gutenberg, which is this block editor that we created for WordPress, into Drupal itself so that it can run and we can share like those systems and so forth. So I think like for the open source systems, it's a lot more collaborative than competitive, and it's more about the proprietary systems these days.
Yeah, and with the proprietary systems, I think two of the big points are really the plugin ecosystem. That is still a very large driver, where there are just so many different solutions out there already for WordPress that mean that you can integrate essentially anything with your WordPress site. And then we've just recently seen Webflow crank up the prices, and you just don't own the data and you're stuck within a system that you don't control. And that is one of the big freedoms of just using open source software, where you are in control of the full stack. You can move hosts, you can move systems, you can move theme, plugin, whatnot. And it's, in the end of the day, your responsibility, but also your freedom of just owning your content, your stack. And that is a very large thing where we're seeing many, many folks switch from proprietary systems that or in-house solutions that kind of are completely proprietary to just using the common open source tool, because it has so much support, so much, you can find so many engineers that have worked with it that kind of know their way around it. And that really brings a lot of freedom with it in a way.
So I also feel like, you know, WordPress, or with anything that's been out there for many years, there's always like negatives or not even negatives, but like perceptions of something like WordPress. And I'd be curious, like, you all are close enough to it, and I've heard them too. Like, there's certain things that people are like, oh, you can't use WordPress because it's slow or it's not scalable. You name it. I've heard many of them out there. I'm curious some of the ones that you all commonly hear, and are they actually true? And, you know, maybe just comment on like how you feel about those misconceptions.
In the front end, there used to be a moment in time where many people using WordPress will download or buy a theme. And that theme was full of JavaScript because they wanted to sell you the shiny new thing. So it would download, hundreds of kilobytes of JavaScript, and it would make your sites slow. And for a time, that was the thing. But it was not the fault of WordPress itself, because you could make a theme that was super lean and super fast and super performant. So it was more of kind of a trend. I think that trend has stopped now. People is paying a lot of attention to Lighthouse scores and things like that, and performance. And you can make WordPress as performant as any other tool out there. When you're creating a theme, or when you're choosing a theme, if you choose a performant one, you're in control. You can do it you can make it very performant. And that's for PHP themes, classic themes. But there is a new type of theme now, which is a block theme, which is a theme that is created only using blocks in the editor. So you don't have to write the code for that, not only for the parts that the content editors edit in the pages and posts, but for the rest of the site. And in those, WordPress is absorbing like the performance optimizations. So by default, when you're using a new block theme, you're going to get the very performance sites. I think most of them will rank 100 out of 100 in Lighthouse, things like that. And we are taking, in this kind of new paradigm, we are taking performance very seriously. So if someone is using a block theme, that's going to be performant by default.
I think maybe other things that historically has been attributed sort of similar, like security, for example. Like the core WordPress experience is extremely secure. It has so many eyes from the entire security community all the time looking at it. There's been historically like some, like especially like in the long tail of the plugin system, like plugins that can introduce vulnerabilities, but like it's been like super, super like, I don't know, refined over the years, the plugin directory, the reviews, the whole community like coming together. So I think that's another sort of things that used to hang on top of it. But it was also like a question of like just the size, by being like the most popular CMS, like it just got a lot more attack vectors and trying things and so forth. But I think that the performance story is very interesting, because you could like, we didn't talk, but like maybe you could also imagine some of the front-end frameworks as being like in the space of competing with WordPress, even though they are not like CMSs themselves, but like, yeah, what Vercel is doing, or like deploying apps like Netlify and so forth. You could see, and purely in the JavaScript framework scene, I think also PHP has been something that people have like sort of caught up to. It's funny now that like JavaScript frameworks are putting so much emphasis on server-side rendering, that like the whole story is like, it's a bit more nuanced at least, which is interesting. It's like we're having like better conversations on that. But like what Luis was saying about like the front end, like it, which is part of like, I think Dewey is coming out on the 6.5, right? Like some of the interactivity API items. So the idea that like, and yeah, we should share as well like the wpmovies.dev demo at some point. Like, which is a theme built on just using sort of like use the WordPress editor to like combine all these blocks. But on the front end, you get like sort of single page navigation between things. You get real time interactivity and you don't need to like code anything else. The idea is that if you put these things together, well, it just WordPress does that for you. And it's, so it's like, again, I think you can, these days you can get like an extremely fast, performant, reliable and so on website with WordPress.
Yeah. And I'll let Luis speak to the actual, cool interactivity API stuff, since he's one of the masterminds behind it. But something that I think I also want to mention in regards to just misconceptions is just developer experience of working with WordPress. That is something that every single person that I meet at a conference, when I say, hey, I'm working mostly with WordPress, they kind of repel in a way where it's, okay, that just means PHP and just old outdated tech stack. And since kind of WordPress had that big paradigm switch about 6 years ago now, where the actual editor and the concept in WordPress is now not so much a document-based model anymore, but it's a block-based model where every single piece of content, every single element on your site is just a block. And these blocks, there's a collection of, I think it's somewhere way above the 30s of core blocks that ship with the software itself. But then it's also an API to allow you as an extender, as a developer, to build custom blocks for your integrations, for your other elements that kind of need custom development. And in that world, we're essentially talking about, you have individual components that you're writing that have CSS code splitting, that have JavaScript code splitting, where only if that block is actually rendered on a page will all of that stuff get included in your actual bundle on the front end. And the actual developer experience for it is, it's a modern tech stack. It's kind of the actual editorial experience for those blocks is written in React. The actual editor is written using React. And now with this upcoming version of WordPress, there's this front end interactivity API, which essentially is what we're all talking about on Twitter these days with Alpine.js or HTMLX. And kind of similar to all of that in a way where, yeah, Luis can talk more about all of that. But I think the developer experience for somebody who has never worked with WordPress before and isn't using that, yeah, you can still build a site the same way you did 20 years ago. But there also is this completely different approach to building modern WordPress sites that is much more similar to what you may experience on just straight up Next.js build, or just so the whole developer experience is what I wanted to just mention, because yeah, that definitely got a bunch of improvements in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that the block editor has to be one of the biggest React applications out there, because and it's incredibly extensible as well. So yeah, most of the day, the people working on the block editor were working with React most of the time.
So you've kind of all alluded to that, yes, there's a new version of WordPress coming, which is awesome to hear. What can people expect? I know you've mentioned some of the front end changes that are happening. What other features can people expect?
So it makes sense to tell a bit the way that WordPress does releases, because WordPress tends to do like 2-3 releases a year. Those are like split through the year. But we've been on what we call like the four phases of Gutenberg since, I don't know, like 5-6 years ago. And these four phases were like introducing this block editor written in JavaScript to allow essentially content creation. That was the initial phase. The second phase was to use this system to allow you to build entire sites. So not just the content of posts and pages, but everything around it, like your header, your footer, the sidebars, like all of the mechanics of the site. We've been on that phase for the last like 3-4 years or so. And over the last year, we got to the point where like, at which to me has been very interesting to see designers be able to build entire WordPress themes without touching code at all. Sort of like using like the same way that you might use like Framer or Webflow and so forth. Just combining like the blocks. That's been, so this, the release that is coming up now is like strengthening some of those concepts and is bringing like new tools for developers as well. Like the ability to have like, we have this notion of reusable blocks where you can like modify the content, but the layout of the block of the pattern, you can retain it across different pages and so forth. And one big piece is like introducing this interactivity API, and this affects like the way that you write the front end of sites, because the block editor is mainly a creative tool for the author, but the interactivity API is also for like the front end of the site and the visitors coming in, like, and being able to create these richer interactions. There's a long tail of like fixes and improvements over this as well, but it's like, is really putting some of the finishing touches on this phase two around customization. And then we're starting to get into like phase three and phase four, which are, phase three is about like real time collaboration. So adding the ability to collaborate on the posts, on the signs, on anything across the WordPress experience. It's doing things around workflows as well. It's starting to expand the sort of the design that we apply to the block editor to the rest of the admin experience, so that it works seamlessly across the whole experience. This is part of like that evolution thing of like, okay, you can trace back the interface of WordPress through the years, and these latest iterations are like really making it sort of like come together as a in a way more like a single page application with like a lot of these interactions baked in and so forth. And the phase four, which like is still like a bit further away, is about multilingual, just for completion's sake. So that's like this WordPress 6.5, the one that's coming up.
Yeah, and I'll just mention, because there's always a little bit of confusion with folks about WordPress releases. WordPress itself does not strictly follow semantic versioning. In my mind, I've kind of switched to not thinking of it as 6.5, but rather release 65. And then there are about three releases a year. And so WordPress itself always has the goal of backwards compatibility, updating your site from 6.4 to 6.5, or even from 6.9 to 7.0 won't break things. There won't be a breaking change. It is really just maybe in the future, sometimes it'll switch to a date-based system, but there are about three or four releases in a year that just roll out new additions, new updates, features. And then sometimes there are security fixes, but it's not like there is this really big release that is in the works for years and years that then drops, but it's more a continuous improvement cycle. Yeah. And this is just the latest one. I think the last one dropped in December, end of November or early December. This will now drop at the end of March.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I think it ties back to the one of the first topics about like why has WordPress grown so much, and I think that idea of like continuous improvement and backwards compatibility is really strong. We don't have you can update sites that were like, and they continue to work, and I think that has it makes development a lot easier, a lot trickier. It's very challenging.
It's very challenging.
So you have to like apply a lot of ingenuity to like figure out how to bring. And we like to joke that we have posts about like the ship of Theseus around WordPress, and how like just like this metaphor of how like if you change every piece of a ship while it's sailing, like is it still like the same ship? Because that sort of reflects the WordPress development. in how like we want to like replace all the pieces, but without the ship sinking in. So like we have like a strong commitment to backwards compatibility, but also want to find a way to like, yeah, keep it going, reshape all the pieces. And it's for people, I think it's a fascinating challenge. It's difficult sometimes, but it's like also very rewarding when it works, when you can just like upgrade and things continue, like just sailing smoothly.
Yeah. And it means that when you're designing for WordPress core, you have one chance. It's like, okay, you have to make it right the first time, because what goes in core stays in core, kind of thing. So it's very challenging, but very rewarding as well.
But in regards to actually the release of WordPress 6.5, there are some cool features. There's this concept called patterns in WordPress, which essentially is a collection of blocks that is stored that you can reuse across your site. And kind of if you're thinking about atomic design, blocks are atoms and patterns are the molecules of your just stuff. And we've had this concept of synced patterns, where just the entire pattern is synced across all of the different instances of the site. And if you change the text in one of those instances, it just propagates through the rest of the site. And now there is this new concept called pattern overrides, which will allow you to say, hey, I actually want the text content of this heading, and I want this image and maybe this button text to be overwritable by each individual instance, but the design portion of it is still synced. So if you update the layout, if you update the styles, the color, any of those other elements of that pattern, that'll propagate throughout your site, but the actual overrides that are applied to the individual instances, kind of like Figma components, will stay present and will stay true to it, which especially for kind of the no code audience and actual end users will be a great great improvement that I'm really excited for.
I'm learning so much. Like, I feel like every front end developer at some point has worked in WordPress or touched it. It's one of those. Yeah, it's like a common story for all of us. So like, this is a fascinating episode. With all these big changes you all are announcing, how do you generally interact with the community and keep people up to date on all the happenings that as WordPress evolves over the years?
That's a great question. I think there's multiple channels. WordPress.org has a blog, and a lot of these things like more end user facing are announced there. The blog is also linked in the dashboard of your site, so like there's like a widget where you can see like those news, so it keeps like the broader community engaged. The community is more about like keeping up with like the APIs, the changes, the builder community. There's a make network that is like a set of blogs where like everyone contributing shares the progress, shares like coming projects, the roadmaps, and so forth. For WordPress core, development happens in Track in Subversion. For like the Gutenberg project, it happens on GitHub, and all of that is like all of the roadmaps and stuff are completely open. So it depends on the how close you are to the thing, like how much awareness you have. And I think it sort of goes in ripples. I think the different like hosts would choose to communicate to their users like when a new version is coming and all of those things. And there's also like WordPress does work camps, which are these events throughout the world where people present both people making the software but also part of the ecosystem and the community. And there's like a couple of major work camps. I think right now we have three, like WordCamp Europe, WordCamp US, WordCamp Asia, which is coming up now. And generally in those, like we present what's been the latest work and what's coming up. And we talk about these phases of Gutenberg. That's where we talk about like those things more in detail. Am I missing anything? Any other like channels?
I would highlight that since mid last year, there is a new developer focused blog on developer.wordpress.org/news. And that on that blog, there is a monthly update. What's new in developers in December? What's new for developers in January? And just subscribing to that essentially once a month newsletter, I think, is all the overview any developer that actually works with WordPress ever needs, because it really highlights and curates all of the new happenings, all of the things to be aware about that are kind of on the horizon, and then also things that have just released or other cool blog posts, other cool topics, podcasts, YouTube videos, stuff like that, just get highlighted on that post, on that blog.
And I think that when you go to a WordCamp for the first time, that's very special. When you see the community gathering together and the vibe and all the different people coming from different angles and experiences and getting together, those are great. And people like to present on the WordCamps and they do a lot of networking and so on. For example, we've talked about the interactivity API. It's not even there. Yeah, in WordCamp Phoenix, in February, there was a talk about interactivity API made by, I think this was Robert Richardson. And it's so people, he was not involved, but he liked the idea and he likes to, to share it with other WordPress folks. And that, I think that kind of community thing goes a lot very far.
So before we dive into picks, I'd be curious to know from each of you, we've talked a lot about how flexible WordPress is, extensible, and has been used for so many things. Since you all have been very close to this for many years, I'd be curious to hear some of your thoughts on, like, what are some of the creative things that you've seen over the years that have been WordPress has been used for?
I think the inverse question also is a good one, because I'm struggling to think of things that I haven't seen somebody try to do with WordPress, even if it doesn't make sense at all to build it in WordPress, because it is for me, as just somebody who has been developing with it for years, the easiest way to get a system that has auth built in, that has kind of management of individual entities, kind of, if you just use that bare bones backend and use the REST API, it can power pretty much anything, which it may not be the right tool for, but it is certainly capable of that. And so I'm still trying to think through the proper answer to your question, but I've seen so many weird things. That I've seen a meal planning app that somebody had built, where it's just building a custom post type for the different meals and then a schedule, and then just using the REST API to manage kind of a Trello board style application where somebody's doing their meal planning powered by WordPress in the end, which I don't know whether you want to do it, but it's possible that I've seen it before.
There's been games built with it as well, like, so all sort of like crazy. And I was also thinking about, like, not just WordPress, but now with like this block building API, there's been so much creativity around, like, I don't know, VR, 3D things built into the blogs, and all sort of like, there's this new thing like called Playground, which runs essentially like WordPress in WebAssembly in the browser. So you don't have like, and there's like a Gutenberg blog where you can run WordPress inside the blog. So it's like you end up running WordPress inside a Gutenberg blog written in React that's sitting inside like WordPress, and are sort of like all sort of inception.
I love that you turned my question around, because it is true. Like, I think of the things that I've even had to develop over the years where someone is very familiar with WordPress, like someone who's asking me that, whether it be like, maybe it's a leader that I'm working with or a client, whatever it's been. And they're like, no, it needs to be done with WordPress. There was even times I remember I was at Evernote, and the director was very familiar with WordPress. And he had asked that he wanted to do some app notifications, or they were like announcements in app. And they were like, well, we should use WordPress. And I, like, to be honest, I was like, no, we probably shouldn't, because like, it's a lot of heavy lifting. And those were the days before the REST API even existed.
Right.
It was like having to digest XML and making a linkage to it. But yes, we ended up doing that just to give like certain announcements to people on the other end. I mean, it worked. And I think that's the beauty of this, is like, you can make anything work. And at the end of the day, whoever was writing the content was very familiar with WordPress. So that was the kind of bonus.
It certainly, I think that is something where you can build pretty much anything with it. That doesn't mean you should build anything with it. For example, a while ago, I was working on a documentation site, essentially just documenting developer APIs and kind of best practices around that stuff. And I as somebody who is so active in the WordPress community, I got a lot of heat for not choosing WordPress for it, but instead choosing DocuSaurus as the backend and using just straight up Markdown. And in that case, it was really just, we wanted to be able to have Markdown files collaborate in Git and have individual developers work on it. And because of that, just for this specific thing, WordPress wasn't the right choice. And I think that is perfectly fine. And I'm very happy with people using the actual tools that are specifically built for it, while also kind of seeing that, yeah, it is such a flexible tool and you can build all those things with WordPress. And so all I want to say is essentially, I think there are many other tools that also have a place out there in the world. It's not just, hey, you should do everything with WordPress. There are many things I wouldn't do with WordPress, but it is cool that you can, or kind of pushing those boundaries sometimes helps us learn a whole lot about what it's actually good at and what we maybe never thought about.
Right on. Well, I think it's probably a good time for us to dive into your picks. In each episode of the Frontend Happy Hour podcast, we like to choose things and share with all of you that we found interesting. Sometimes they're related, sometimes they're not to the topic. Jem, you want to start us off?
Yeah, these are not related, but I have two picks for today. The first one is an article by Axios called Take Care of Middle Managers in a Hybrid World. It's actually written in 2022. But the content's still relevant, where they kind of dive into the challenge of being a manager, where, you know, executives and the top people are saying, like, return to office, it'd be more productive, when the managers have to be the one to kind of enforce that and take on the challenges of working a hybrid team. So I think it's really funny. It was a good article in 2022. Not much has changed, and we're still there in 2024. So worth a quick read. And anything on Axios is usually a pretty easy and digestible read, because they write really well. They even wrote a book on it, that which Ryan has recommended in a previous podcast. My next pick is a Netflix show called Six Nations Full Contact. It's a documentary about rugby, which is really fascinating, because I've always seen rugby, but I've never really got into it. And like, watching the documentary just gave me so much respect for the sport. These guys are hardcore. Like, they're hitting each other and they're not wearing any pads or any helmets. Obviously, they don't hit each other in the head. That's like a very big penalty, but... yeah, it's like, and they're running up and down and keep doing it for 75 minutes or so. So really, really great documentary. I'm really digging the Netflix sports documentaries, where it just kind of shows me more insight into sports that I'd known about, but not known as much about. So those are my picks for today.
Who would like to go next? Or should I just start picking people?
I can go next. I have one related, which is this, the WPMovies.dev. website, which is built with this like interactivity API, and in WordPress, an example of like a extremely fast site built exclusively with blogs, sort of as a showcase of what's possible with modern WordPress. And the other one is like something that I find really fascinating that like happened very recently. The I don't know if you've seen it around. I think it's made the news. The Vesuvius Challenge, where the recovering the papyrus that were burned by the Vesuvius eruption in antiquity. And there's been this challenge. I think the website is crawlprize.org, and it's been a very fascinating thing to see. So the idea is that like we have these completely carbonized scrolls of papyrus with like lost works from antiquity. And there's been like a community coming in together to apply like AI and machine learning to try to like extract the text from these tools. And there was a challenge post to like trying to get there. And end of last year, they managed to like have like a breakthrough and actually like have like the contents of a scroll without like, so the process means like they need to like digitally like sort of open up the scroll, the text, where like where's the ink and so forth. And it's been like really, really interesting to see. And through this year, I think they will try to get to read more of these scrolls. So the idea is that this villa was a philosopher in antiquity that was like sort of philosopher in residence at this villa. It had a huge library. So there may be a lot of works that we have lost through times. So I'm really fascinated about that.
Very cool. Fabian, what do you have for us?
I wanted to pick the Apple TV Plus show Lessons in Chemistry that I just watched the last couple of weeks. I was fascinated by it. Didn't know anything beforehand, but it's really kind of really cool showcase of just gender, race, all of those things in the 60s, and just beautifully written, beautifully shot, and really, really like that show. Highly encourage everybody to check that out.
Right on. Louise?
I think I would choose a talk by John Cleese, one of the Monty Pythons, on creativity, talking about how to switch from open to closed mode and what do you have to do to be in open mode and stay creative when you have to solve problems. And I think it's been the single most impactful thing that I've seen kind of online that have been translated into something really useful for me to know when you are in closed mode, when you're in open mode, and when you need to think about something and come up with creative solutions. So that definitely. And also one of my favorite books, I love real stories, and this is one of my favorites. It's called, I think it's not very well known, it's American Kingpin, and it's the story of the founder of Silk Road, which was the first shop of the deep web. And it's a fascinating story. It's a novel, but based on the real facts. Absolutely fascinating.
Very cool. That does sound interesting. All right. I have two picks for this episode. One is actually related, but we have a Frontend Masters has a new blog that they've called and just released earlier this year, I believe, called Boost. Guess what it's built on? It is built on WordPress, but it's been a great blog post starting out already. They've had some really great contributors, one being the main one, Chris Coyer. So there's a lot of great material on that. So I highly recommend checking out Frontend Masters' blog. Obviously, too, if Frontend Masters is a great one for courses. And my other pick is not related. It is a photography-related item called the DJI Osmo 6. It's a gimbal, really just a small handheld gimbal for your mobile phone. If you like to take videos on your phone, I highly recommend it. Acts as a nice little tripod. It has like active tracking and keeps your phone nice and steady, so you have nice clean shots and not that, you know, jumbled mess when you're walking. So it definitely been a cool tool that I've been playing around with. The three of you, I want to thank you all for joining us, Louise, Fabian, and Matthias. Where can people get in touch with you? This has been really great, and I'm sure you have a lot of advice to share on WordPress. Where can people get in touch with you online?
You can still find me on Twitter. I won't call it X or anything. At Fabian Kegi. same across all social media. You'll find me on Mastodon, all the places, and in the WordPress Slack using the same handle. So it's that handle in all the places.
It's the same for me. Luis Herranz, name and surname, in Twitter, in GitHub, in Slack, everywhere.
Oh, and for me, it's Matthias_Ventura on X Twitter and MatthiasVentura.com on my blog.
Matthias, you just had to say X, didn't you? All right. Well, thank you all for listening to our episode. You can find us on things like Twitter at FrontendHH. We are on YouTube at FrontendHH. Subscribe to us on whatever you like to listen to podcasts on. Any last words?
I think I'm just like so happy that we had this conversation. So thank you very much for setting it up. I would love for like people to check out what WordPress is up to and to like reach out and like if anything strikes their fancy to like get involved, like see how things are going. And
yeah, this has been an awesome conversation. I know Jem mentioned it. I've learned a ton too, just because, you know, I've been so close to WordPress earlier in my career and haven't really done much with it since. And it's so cool to see how much it's evolved. So thank you all for educating us as well. This has been great.
Thank you.
Thanks to you.